Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Neil Ferguson's massive history, The House of Rothschild. So Sophie, you've been telling me for weeks that this book changed how you see modern finance. What's the big deal?
It really did. I mean, we hear the name Rothschild and instantly think conspiracy theories, secret cabals, world domination. But Ferguson strips all that away and shows this real, complicated family. They basically invented international banking, and their rise and fall is like a thriller, a tragedy, and a business school case study all rolled into one.
Right, and it starts so humbly. Mayor Amschkel was just a coin dealer in a Frankfurt ghetto, dealing with rare coins and antiques. And the name Rothschild comes from the red shield hanging over his shop.
Exactly. And in that era, Jews faced all sorts of legal restrictions, so his success was remarkable. He got his big break when he won the trust of Prince William of Hesse-Cassel, one of the richest men in Europe. That connection was gold.
But the real genius was what he did with his five sons. He looked at Europe and realized finance was going international, so he sent each son to a major city. Amschkel stayed in Frankfurt, Salomon went to Vienna, Nathan to London, Carl to Naples, and James to Paris.
That's the part that blew my mind. They created this private network with carrier pigeons and fast couriers, even their own postal system and secret code. So they knew about market-moving events before anyone else, way before the telegraph. That kind of edge is almost impossible to imagine now.
And Nathan in London was the most brilliant of the bunch. He showed up in 1798 with modest capital, and during the Napoleonic Wars, he dominated the bullion market. He moved gold across borders when that was incredibly dangerous, and he financed the British war effort. He was indispensable.
And that leads to the Waterloo legend. The story goes that Nathan personally saw the battle and raced to London to profit, but Ferguson says that's not quite true. Instead, his agents and fast ships got him the news before the official dispatches, and he understood what it meant for the markets.
So he'd been quietly buying government bonds before the battle. When a victory was confirmed, their value soared, and he made enormous profits. But more than that, it positioned the Rothschilds as the go-to financiers for post-war reconstruction. They underwrote loans for governments all over Europe.
And that's when they hit their peak. The five brothers coordinated across borders like a single multinational corporation. They dominated the bond market, financed railways, and their word was essentially as good as gold. If they backed a loan, investors knew it was safe.
They also had this incredible political influence. They were bankers to the Holy Alliance, but they also kept ties with liberals and nationalists. It's like they played this long game of diplomacy, balancing everyone. James in Paris was a confidant of kings. Salomon in Vienna was essential to Metternich, and Nathan was consulted by prime ministers.
But here's where it gets complicated. They stayed proudly Jewish in an era of rampant anti-Semitism, and their success made them targets. The whole image of the Jewish banker pulling the world strings was born right there. Ferguson digs into those conspiracy theories and shows they're baseless, but the damage was done. The myth stuck.
And it's tragic because they actually supported Jewish communities across Europe and pushed for emancipation. But they still faced barriers everywhere. They couldn't own land in many places, couldn't hold offices, and paid special taxes. It's like they were building an empire while being locked out of the castle at the same time.
And their internal unity was both their greatest strength and their eventual weakness. The five brothers had this partnership agreement where no one could act without the other's consent. They corresponded constantly and made decisions together. But there was tension, especially with Nathan's dominance and James's rising influence. Still, they held it together.
But the next generation didn't have that fire. They were born into wealth, went to the best schools, married into aristocracy. They were more interested in art and philanthropy than banking. And as nationalism rose, the London branch became more English, the Paris branch more French, and the Vienna branch more Austrian. The unity started to fray.
And new competitors showed up, like the Barings and the Morgans, and those new joint stock banks could raise capital faster. The Rothschilds were conservative, focused on government bonds and big infrastructure, and they missed the boat on industrial investments and the rise of the US and Germany. They just didn't adapt fast enough.
Then World War I hit, and the family was literally split across enemy lines. The London and Paris branches supported the Allies, while Vienna backed the Central Powers. Their international network, which was their superpower, suddenly became a liability. After the war, the Austro-Hungarian Empire collapsed, and the Vienna branch was destroyed. And then the Nazis seized their assets and drove them into exile.
It's heartbreaking. They survived so much, but the 20th century was just too brutal. They retreated from the center of global finance, and even though they adapted and diversified, they never regained that old dominance. The world had changed, and the Rothschilds were no longer the architects.
What I love about Ferguson's approach is how balanced it is. He doesn't make them heroes or villains. They were complex people who worked incredibly hard and took smart risks, but they also made mistakes and faced forces beyond their control. The story is way more interesting than the myth.
And the biggest takeaway for me is the power of family, both its strength and its fragility. They succeeded because they trusted each other and shared everything. But that trust couldn't survive the next generation, and the decline was inevitable. It's a reminder that no dynasty lasts forever.
And also that conspiracy theories are just a way to make sense of a chaotic world. The Rothschilds weren't pulling strings behind the scenes. They were just really, really good at what they did at the right time in history.
And if you want to dig deeper into this story or explore thousands of other titles, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction books you can read or listen to in any language. And it starts at just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So, whether you're hunting for the truth behind a legend or just want to understand how money moves the world, this book is a perfect place to start. We'll see you in the next one.